And I'll hand, without any further delay, over to Roy and thank him for coming to be with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, I tell you what, it's a real thrill to see so many men in one place, because we're the leaders, isn't that right? And you, some of you are afraid to say that, but your wives are not here. But that's the truth. There is a, I have to point that out sometime to the women, that there's a headship. When there's a headship issue in our house, I win. And that's the way it should be. I was amazed actually that it's a year just over a year since we did this before. And you know, a lot has changed in a year. And I was just reminded of I might have shared this with some of you before, but a story about a school teacher. I was in the presence of school teachers, and it just reminded me of a funny story that a school teacher who hadn't seen her friend for a few years said, "You know, since the last time I met you, a lot has changed." Well, she says, "Well, that's good." She said, "Well, actually, it's not too good because I've got married in that time." "Oh, well," she says, "well, that's good." She says, "Well, you know, it's not too good because my husband's ugly." "Oh," she says, "well, that's too bad." She says, "Well, it's not too bad because he's a multimillionaire." She says, "Well, that's good." He says, "Well, it's not too good because he's a bit of a miser." "Oh," she says, "well, that's too bad." She says, "Well, that's not too bad because he built me that big mansion." "Oh," she says, "well, that's good." She says, "Oh, well, it's not too good. It burnt to the ground." "Oh," she says, "well, that's too bad." She said, "It's not too bad. He was in it." You know, a lot can change. A lot can change. I've had a thought, because, you know, I know time rolls on, and we have a corporate dinner today, I think midday or shortly after, and then we've got a bit of a wee game this afternoon, and then I have a wedding to go to tonight, would you believe? So a busy day. But the thought that I had on thinking about today, and I'm mindful that I'm with a group of people that would be split in two, effectively. There would be those that would be in Christ, and there would be those that would not be in Christ. And that's fairly common in places that I would get to. But I want to talk about faith. But before I talk about faith, I want to quote you two verses of Scripture which really burned in my heart about this gathering today. And here's the two verses, and you would find them in Isaiah 55, and it'd be verses 6 and 7. And it says this, and just try and hold these verses in your attention if you can. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his own way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord." Two short verses. If you contemplate those verses, maybe we will a wee bit in a minute or two, you'd notice that there's conditions attached to those verses, and the onus is on the individual to start with by seeking the Lord. I hear people saying, "Oh, the Lord found me. The Lord found all of us." But you have to go seeking for what you need. But let me park that for a second and go to faith. What is faith? What is your faith built on? What do you believe? Because faith, according to the Bible definition of faith, you would read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." So faith in many ways is not a tangible. You know, if I say that vessel will hold liquid, that's fact. But if there was a hole in the bottom of that and I said to you, "But I'm going to pour liquid into that, but it'll not leak out," that would be faith. You would either believe or you wouldn't believe. So what is your faith built on? I can tell you without faith, without saving faith, because faith actually is a vessel that God uses to save your soul and to deliver you from many things, because Ephesians 2 verse 8 would tell you, "For it is by grace you're saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So you have to walk literally through the doorway of faith to appropriate God's grace. So what is your faith built on? What do you believe? If you don't have that saving faith, no matter what you do, according to the Bible, you can't please God. None of your works will please God. nothing you do will please God. You could be the most upstanding man in the local community. You could be the greatest guy ever. You could be the best husband a wife can ever have. But if you don't have saving faith, anything that you do doesn't please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please Him. Your efforts wasted. And people I know spend lifetimes trying to earn their way into God's favour, and you can't do it. Because the economy is this, faith. Faith needs to be applied and needs to be in your life. Saving faith and in my life. 12 months ago, when I'm standing here, I remember the day we were going to play Bangor that afternoon, and everybody in here told me we'd win and we lost, so it was your fault. But in 12 months, I have had to use the gift of faith more so than that. I tell you a story. There's only one journalist that I know in here, and he won't print this because I have a good relationship with him, I hope. And when I say it's off the record, then it's off the record. I could have waited for 2 years and could now be manager of Glentoran Football Club. And I was offered that job several times and I refused it. And then when I said yes, everybody knows the story about the IFN badges. Now, I've got more badges now than a Boy Scout has down his arm. I have all the badges I need. More bag, I can give you badges. Pro license, what's all that about, you know? It's unbelievable. But I could have waited, because I was asked to wait. Roy, just wait, do the badges, and we'll give you our commitment to do that. I said no, because that would be unfair to the fellow who's in the job. But my faith was, I knew what God was doing in my life at the time. I knew God was calling me to come back into football. And I had faith to wait on the evidence of things that was unseen, but believing that there would be a journey that I would take that would lead me to where I am. And I'm in the best place possible because I love being where I am. Love's a strong word, but I love the people in Ballymena. I am attracted to the people. Now, I could hit you, a Christian, digging the gob very easily, because that's my nature. I want to fight you. It's my old nature. Sorry, Steve, but it's confession time. You know, I'll hit you, a Christian, digging the gob. It's like, I always tell a story about when Big Stevie Baxter was playing. He stole my strap line, by the way. Keep the faith. That was my program notes of Crusaders. And notice he's carried that on. So mine have changed at Ballymena. And I'll talk about that in a wee minute. But Big Stevie Baxter was getting kicked by a fella who played for Larne, and he was kicking lumps out of him and kicking the back off him. And he said to him, Big Stevie, you can't hit me because you're a Christian. He says, if you do it again, I'll hit you, a Christian, digging the gob. To which he did. Now, it's okay if you pick them up in love, right? It's all right. You're okay. You're allowed to do that. But faith takes you places. Faith is the light that's in your heart in the darkest tunnel and the darkest walk that you will go through, because you have to believe that God will bring you through. And if you don't have that, I wonder what your faith is in. I've had a difficult 12 months. It's been difficult. But I truly believe that where I am is where God wants me to be. And you know what I know in coming? God never told me once it was going to be easy. Not once. In fact, it's like a case of deja vu. I'm watching a good wee show on the TV. I don't watch much TV. In fact, I'm told our TV's broken because it only shows sport. So I have a problem with that, you know, in our house. It only ever sport on our TV. But I'm watching a good wee show at the minute called, is it Flash Forward or Fast Forward? Something's good. I mean, it's got my attention. It's just captivated me. I'm interested to see how it ends, you know, because it's a flash forward where people have seen a vision into the future and events are starting to take place. Now, they're very fortunate. But I have a vision into the future. It's called the Bible. I know how things are going to unfold. I know how things are going to unfold in my life. And yet there are some things that I don't know because they haven't been revealed yet. But the ultimate, I know. I know where it ends. We were saying at the table, I know the kid from D Street in East Belfast is going to a mansion in the sky. I love that. Oh, we had an outside toilet. Right? Now, these young people don't know what I'm talking about. But we had an outside toilet, you know what I mean? And it was a newspaper. It wasn't Kleenex or whatever. It was a telly. That's the truth. and you had your tea out of a billy can. That's just true. That's why I like my tea strong, because it was shipyard tea. And yet, I know that there's a mansion awaiting me. I know that my mum and my dad, who I led to Christ, are in that mansion. I know that. I know how it ends. That's faith. I believe every word that's in this book. Every word. But what is your faith built on? I need you to do this, Sean. Will you do this? I think we will have the youngest team in Ballymena's history on the field of play today. See, last year when I was going through the troubles, and many of you were going through it as well, and I thank God for the great support that we got, God gave me a word, a very clear word, and I'm going to share it with you, because it's now starting to come to pass. And the word was from Hebrews 10, verse 9, and it was this: He, God, He taketh away the first, that He might establish the second. And anything that God takes away to replace with something else, the something else is always better. That was in reference to the old covenant. God took away the law, and He replaced it with grace. Christ came, the fulfillment of the law. Grace, the cross, His blood, His resurrection, His seating at the right hand of the Father, His soon to come again to break the clouds, to come back for His church. Everything He does is better. And I knew then, with bad attitudes that we had, with people that we had signed as a football club over the years, with very soft attitudes, very poor, only wanted to turn up, only wanted to get a few bob, only wanted to get the money, wanted the glory. We're talking about things during the game that were to do with going out to clubs that night. We're doing different things. Identified this quite early on. But of course you can't do anything about it just like that. There has to be a process. But I knew then that that verse God was telling me, we're going to have to change this. This all needs changed. The whole structure needs changed until we put things in that are better. And now we've got some of the best young players in the Irish League. And do you know what I love about young players? And I know there's coaches, the Coaches for Christ guys are here. And I just want to bless you guys for the work that you are doing. Because it's a marvellous work. Because you guys are at the place where you can influence young people for the right values in life. And you young people need to listen to these men. Because, as I say to parents, there's a nightclub, there's a street corner, and there's a church organisation. Where would you rather your children were? In the church organisation. I drove around most of Belfast when my daughter was a teenager. Getting her out of... I remember one head honcho in the UDA. And he said to me... And you would know him, because you would have seen him on the TV. And he said to me one night, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "Do you know who I am?" And he went, "What?" This is true. And he said, "Do you know who I am?" This is the way this was going. I said, "No, do you know who I am?" "What do you mean, who are you?" I said, "Hold on, I'm going to stop you there." I said, "I'll ask my Father to send legions of angels to your door." I said, "And you'll be in trouble." And here was the big head honcho, starting to get nervous, you see. But I chased around the estates. I remember a policeman saying to me, "I know the house your daughter's in." It was what we would call a shebeen. It was a den. And he said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "What can you do?" He said, "I can break the door down and go in and get her out." I said, "Do it." He said, "Now, you know that what house that is?" I said, "I've already had the conversation with the head honcho." I said, "It's okay, trust me, go in." And he went in, and she came out. And I want to thank God today my daughter preaches the gospel better than her daddy. Because my daughter's life was transformed. Now, it took a bad thing to happen. It took the orbit of her eye. She got beaten up. She got her eye crushed. But there was a surgeon who was skilled up to a level. And I remember saying to the surgeon, he said, "Mr. Walker, I can only do so far. I can only do so much for your daughter's eye." I said, "Sir, I will be indebted to you for your skill as a surgeon, but I serve the great physician. My God will do the rest. Do what you can do." And if you looked at her, and I'm a jaundiced father, she's gorgeous, you know, getting married next year. It's a good news story, because we believed by faith our kids would end up serving God. We believe that by faith. Our journey is a journey of faith. Our young people, I believe, we had 3 under 21 internationals this week. 3. We should have had 4. because Michael Smith should be in that squad, our young fullback who we signed. The oldest player in the back four today, now don't be telling Malcolm Brody this because it'll be on the news at lunchtime. The oldest player in the back four today would probably be 20 years of age. You know, we finished the game the other night with 6 20 and unders in the team last Saturday, where the referee robbed us. Telling the truth, just telling the story. Went to the IFA this week with evidence. Are there any barristers in? Because I get to doing with your services, actually, because evidence in any walk of life does one of two things, does it not? It either vindicates or it condemns. There's no middle ground. It can't be, well, you know, either it is or it isn't. As I say, you can't be almost pregnant. My wife said that to me one time. She said, I think I'm pregnant. I said, what do you mean you think? Are we having a baby or are we not? We are. Okay, then we are. That's all right. And the evidence was that there was a whole catalogue of things that last Saturday in the game where the referee got it wrong. And even though we presented the evidence and the top people in the IFA, well, not the top people, but the top people in the referees fraternity said, miscarriage of justice. We're suffering from that. They won't reinstate a player today that they should reinstate. Not only that, but he's going to be suspended because the points that he shouldn't have got, what do you hear this? This is Irish. The points that he shouldn't have got then that have him out of the game today also carry forward and he can't play at games in the future. And even though they've now said, referee wrong, entirely wrong, evidence supports it, we're sorry, we've asked the FA to reinstate him, what have they said? Well, no, won't do it. So even when you're right, you're wrong. And sometimes when you're wrong, you're right. But the whole thing is this. I was hurt last Saturday coming off the pitch because our young players deserve better. But I love these young players. And here's the point I want to make about the young players and the team. Young players can be influenced in the right manner. And if we do that, they won't have the baggage. They won't have the bad habits. They won't listen. I had to listen to young players. I'm about, probably, and I'll share this truthfully because, you know, I'm about to sack a player. That's the best way I can describe it so you'll get the point. Because you hear the comment, three strikes and you're out. Give a fellow a chance. Give him another chance. Doing it again. Now he's not... He depending on his defence, he'd be suspended for a couple of months at least. But it might well be that he's played his last game for us. You see, that's discipline. And discipline's important. But discipline has its roots in love. You know, I love our young players and I don't want them tainted by someone who might lead them to the wrong place. And God loves us enough that the journey of faith needs to be in the right place at the right time. And I'm going to move quickly here to this verse. I want to get to this verse because this is those two verses that I quoted you at the start are so important. If your faith is not in God, and you know that, and I don't mean, I think we need to even tell people, and this is sad in Northern Ireland, we need to tell people what a Christian is and what a Christian isn't. If you this day are not walking for Jesus Christ, and I don't know how else to say this other than just say it, then you are not heaven bound. You're not. And so your faith is in you. Because you're going to stand, if that's, God forbid, but let's say that some people here today don't make it through the day. Let's say that. Because we said at the table, the one thing in life we're sure of, death. The one thing we least prepare for, death. Me, I'm ready. Why? Because whilst I live now, says Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die, gain. I benefit. So I don't have a fear of it anymore. I am ready. And when I go, I will stand in front of the King of Kings. On no merit of my own, but rather for what he did for me. But if you don't have that faith, then you stand on your own. Now here's what a Christian isn't. A Christian isn't someone who just goes to church. A Christian isn't a good person. A Christian isn't someone who does good works. That's not what a Christian is. Because if your defense on Judgment Day is, I'm a good person, there's nothing in that book, nothing that says a good person makes it. Nothing. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, it says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So, if you're going to try and stand and get in past the master because you're a good person, you won't get in. Being good doesn't get you in. If you're going to say, well, you know, I went to church every week. I gave to the poor. There's nothing in that book that says that gets you in. Nothing. So your faith is in your good works, or your faith is in you being a good person. Man, I can promise you, through this book, it won't get you in. It will not get you in. Can't. It can't. In fact, the Bible actually says in the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name did we not prophesy, cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. And Jesus says this, depart from me. I never knew you. You never had an intimacy with me. And that's the only thing that gets you in. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for all of us in here, I personally, and I know many others, have accepted as being the ransom I couldn't pay, because he paid a debt that he didn't owe, but it was a debt that I couldn't pay. So he paid it for me. Do you know, in football terms, it was the greatest transfer fee that was ever taken place. There's never been a transfer like it. And that's the only thing that gets you in. So those verses that were on my heart this week were clear verses. Seek you, the Lord. Listen, here's a scary bit. While he may be found. Do you know what that implies? That there'd come a time in your life when he might not be found. Where God has said, that man has multiple chances. Now, like Pharaoh, his heart is hardened. That would be the greatest shame. And there's not a person in Northern Ireland without excuse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. That implies there might come a time when you can shout at the top of the rooftops, but there's such a distance that nobody can hear. There's conditions attached. If anybody in the room can show me an unconditional promise in this book, please do so, because I search it every day. I'm in the process again of rereading through the Bible as part of a morning session that I'm doing. And I say this to the men who are serious about God. I'm just chatting to Stephen about this. The best place for you to be and for me to be is not here doing this. It's in that wee room called the closet where you're one-on-one with God. That's where the business gets done. And I want to encourage the people of God to get serious with God, to believe his word literally, and to get into it. This will save your life. This will heal a broken body. This can heal marriages. This can heal churches. This and this alone is the manual for life. There is no book like this book. You know, I addressed our politicians not many weeks ago up at Stormont. I had the great privilege of addressing our politicians. And you know all this expenses scare that's going on? Well, my question to them was a clear, simple question. Is your conscience killing you? Boys, I dare tell you what, the porridge was coming up. But you know, I have a duty to pray for our politicians and elected representatives. That is my duty. And to be under their authority, that is my duty. So see, if you're one of these guys that don't vote because you can't be bothered, don't be gurning then when the people pass laws that you don't like. Cast your vote. We live in a democracy. You can vote for whoever you want. So exercise your vote. My vote is exercised in this book. I will live according to the dictates and precepts of this book. And I don't care what a politician tells me. If it goes against that book, I'm going against him. But if it goes with that book, I'm going with him. And I'm voting for people with my conscience. My conscience votes. With the voice of the Lord inside saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And I said to the guys, and I say this to this group as well. Conscience, a godly conscience never vows to outside pressure. So when the politicians say, well, Roy, they were all doing it, so it was okay for me to do it. Wrong. If they were all doing it was wrong, you shouldn't do it. Because it goes against this book. And so when this book is opened on that day, what is your faith then? Seek ye the Lord whilst he may be found. I'll tell you how you can be found. You can be found here today. This is church. And for some of you, you have no notion of going to church tomorrow. Isn't that true? This is church. This is the church today, here, at Adair Arms Hotel. This is church. We're now having church. You mightn't realize it, but it's church. Because we're two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name. This is church. Are you here in Jesus' name, William? Amen. Church, that's two of us. That's all I need. We've got a church. This is church. So you can seek God. Let me tell you where God won't be found. And I'm going to quickly close, because I'm in danger of starting to pray. I'm always in danger of preaching at breakfast. And you don't want me to preach. You just want me to talk. God will not be found in hell. Because it's appointed on the man once to die and afterwards the judgment. Then it's too late. Then it's over. And you know, for people who think there's a thing called soul sleep, wrong. That there's a purgatory, wrong. That there's another interim state, wrong. As I said, the ticket that I have, it's not an easy jet ticket. It's a to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. The opposite of that, unsaved people, to be absent from the body, to be straight into the pit of hell. No doubt. Luke chapter 16. I could tell you the whole scripture. In hell, rich man, lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, and he cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to quench my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, in thy lifetime thou receivest the good things, Lazarus the evil things. Now he is comforted, and you're tormented. Here's God giving us a picture of the two places in the afterlife, after this life. Two literal places. My belief, heaven is a planet. A real place, as is hell. I can tell you from Scripture where it's located. I tell you where it is, because the Bible tells me where it is. But people shy away from it, because we're afraid to preach it. But my friends, I want to meet you someday in that place. And so I'm not afraid to preach it. I want to tell you, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So you won't find God in hell, because it's too late. And you won't find God sitting in the pubs having a pint with you. Like I hear some Christians saying, ah, well, God, my buddy. No, he's not your buddy. He's God. He's holy. He's God. And you won't find him in crooked business deals, because he doesn't do crooked deals. And you won't find him snorting coke, because he doesn't snort coke. Where you will find him is in here and in the hearts of God's own people. Can I tell you something? You'll not find him in some places that some people call the church, because it's not the church. Because they meet for some reason other than meeting with God. And God is not in those places. But God is here by his Spirit. And if he is here, then he is near. And so you can call on him today. Because the Bible doesn't talk to you about tomorrow. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And as I've been speaking, and you're picturing yourself that this is your last day, and you're standing now in front of the bar that is the judgment bar. What are you going to say? What can you say? I made a mess. I got it wrong. But let me in. What's God going to say? No. Because he's a just God. And he's a holy God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. There's an end to this. The last line in verse 7. Let an unrighteous man, for his thoughts, excuse me, and return to the Lord. I can take you right back to that scripture where it begins in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve made a mess. And they were sent out of the Garden of Eden. They were sent away. This is the holiness of God. They were sent away because they did wrong. God's now saying, you can return. You can come back. But you come back on my terms, and you come back through the blood of my Son. And that's the only way you come back. And men, God loves you enough to give you that verse today. And say, if your faith is built on anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's not faith that pleases God. And I have a strong conviction for that verse for someone today. I know that verse is meant for someone today. I know that. And I ask God, before I go anywhere, Father, give me a word. Give me a verse. Give me something for people. And I can't escape that verse this week, thinking about this meeting. And God's saying to people, but certainly to some person in particular, this is your day to seek me. This is your day to call upon me. Because this day I'm near to you. And what you're going through, I can bring you through. What trouble you're going through, I can bring you through. Do you know, I stood here last year and Alfie Stewart, who was our reserve team manager, had a wife. And this week, last Saturday, or Sunday, I sent Alfie a text to say, Alfie, it's 1 year since your wife died tragically on the road, on the way to a game, on the way to a football match, to drop his son off, Big Aaron, who plays for us. And Alfie's had a terrible year. But I thank God that Alfie's holding on to Jesus Christ. And Alfie will tell you, as he told me, he said, Roy, the Lord's been good. He's bringing me through. That's faith. That's saving faith. And so therefore I want to encourage you this morning, all of you men, to have faith. What do I believe? I believe that we can turn a football club around. I believe that. I believe passionately that. I see things that happened before. See parallels with Crusaders actually and how things were poor to start, started to pick up. I can see that. I can see it happening. But I believe, no matter what happens, that God is faithful. Amen. I'm moving house. Should have been moved by now. Not moved yet. But I'm moving up because I want to serve in this community and I want to serve in this area. I want to serve the people of God and I want to serve the wider community. And I want to just do whatever God wants me to do and no more. Because at the end of my life, I don't want to look back and say, Lord, I did it my way. That was the very last song that Elvis Presley sang. My way. Well, if you keep on reading in Isaiah 55, praise God, I love the Holy Spirit when he talks to me. If you keep on reading past those verses that I've quoted you this morning, you'll read, for your thoughts aren't my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my thoughts above your ways. Whatever you think you can do, do it with the economy of this faith, and you will be a champion, and you will reach your highest destination in Christ. But man, I need to encourage you. Please seek the Lord. Today, this is the day. It's today. You've got a choice. Don't go out the door going, that was alright. I don't like that wee lad talking. You know, it's too straight. I don't know any other way to be, because I don't want anybody's blood in this room to be in my hands. I don't want to come here today and tickle people's ears. I want to come today with an opportunity to be in church today and to present the gospel to you in such a manner that you can't miss. It's up to you. Being religious doesn't save you. Being good doesn't save you. Doing good works doesn't save you. Going to church doesn't save you. Being in Christ, that saves you. So I'm presenting them to you today, the person who is Jesus Christ. And you know what? I love him. And if I leave you with nothing, I have to leave you with this. Such is his love for you that he took a step onto a cross, taking your place and mine. That's love. That is love. And he loves you. And I want to present his love to you today and ask you to consider what your response to that will be. And I just want to pray. Is that okay? I just pray. And we'll close the meeting. Let's pray. And you know, because two or three are gathered and our heads are bowed, we are in church and God is here. And so I want to just pray very simply. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you're here. And I thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your blood shed for me. I thank you for the heaven that you've prepared for those who accept you by faith. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity, this very day, this very moment, that you would be wanting people in this very room to respond to this very faith. And Father, I want to pray a simple prayer, praying in the Holy Spirit that people would be able to echo this in their hearts. And here's the prayer, if you want to pray this prayer to accept by faith Christ's sacrifice for you and to be sure of a place, then this is the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Today I seek you. Right now, I call upon you. Right now, I turn from my wicked ways. Right now, I accept by faith your gift of salvation. Fill me with your Spirit, that I might follow you all the days of my life. Thank you so much that today you're my Lord and my Saviour. I pray this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, amen. You know, that was solemn. But I'm learned enough to know that God is in the house. I know that. I know because I know because I know. And I want to thank you for such a listening ear, for such attention. And I don't want to get too glib because it's a solemn moment. I would like to say something else, but I'm not going to say it. I wanted to have a bit of a laugh to finish with. I'm not going to do it, if you'll forgive me. I don't want to do it. I just think that was a solemn moment. And, you know, I'm going to hang around if anybody wants a yarn. But, you know, God loves you. And he loves his people. And God bless you. And you guys for putting this on, thank you so much. Because it's a wonderful thing that you do. And it's a blessing. And you know, it's great. It's good for men to be together. I love being with men. Above all else, I love being with men, encouraging men along the way, you know, to fight the good fight. Because we're the victors, you know. And can I just say this, and I'm not being flippant when I say this, would you pray for our football club? Someday I'll write a little thing and tell you what I've been doing actually at the club, actually on the ground, actually in the stands, what has been revealed, what has been shown to me in the supernatural realm about things that have happened over Ballymena. And someday I'll share that. Not least to do it at the moment, but someday I'll share that. But you know something? God's on our side. Bro, you get the kids going, get them into the faith. Let's get going. Let's win the whole place and let prosperity and all its guises come. But God bless you and thanks for today. And pray for Ballymena United. I've not been flippant. We do need prayer. We need prayer more than anything else. I covet that more than anything else. And God bless you.